The reading is Psalm 23, which can be found on page 555. 555. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Rosemary, for reading the Bible passage. Please keep the Bible open. Let me pray before we can look at that passage. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you gave him as our good shepherd. Thank you that he was willing to lay down his life for us. He considered us as his friends, not as his enemies. He was willing to die for us. He's willing to be our king. He's willing to lead us home. We thank and praise him. Thank and praise you for Jesus Christ. Help us to know him more and help us to find comfort and joy in him. Even today, we ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an old story, which I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's about a priest celebrating his 50th anniversary of ordination. And the famous actor, Richard Burton, who had grown up in that parish, was invited as a guest speaker. After giving his speech in the parish auditorium, Burton asked if there was anything the people especially wanted to hear from him. After a brief pause, his old pastor asked if Burton could recite Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd Psalm, which he had learned as a boy in Sunday school. A strange look came over the actor's face. He paused, then said, "I will, on one condition, that after I recite it, my pastor and teacher will do the same." So the old retired pastor replied, "I'm not an actor, but if you wish, I shall do so." And Burton recited the psalm with perfect voice and intonation. The audience were spellbound, and when he finished, there was a thunderous applause. Then the old pastor rose from his wheelchair and recited the same psalm. His voice was feeble and trembling, and his delivery far from perfect. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. Burton stood again, his voice shaking, and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I reached your eyes and ears, but my old pastor reached your hearts. The difference is this: I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." How can we in Dagenham Parish Church can be people who are like this old pastor, people who truly know the shepherd? I don't think the modern world wants to look at people like this old pastor and celebrate them. The modern world celebrates a self-made man or a woman. It lifts up stories of those who succeed on their own. Even churches can be tempted to admire strength, achievement, and independence. But Scripture calls us to something very different, to deny ourselves, to walk in God's ways and to be shaped by our shepherd. This today's psalm is addressed to Christians, but if you're not a Christian, I would speak to you at the end, but you could listen in. So Psalm 23 shows us at least two ways we can demonstrate to the world that we truly know the shepherd. So if we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then firstly, we can be content in life, and secondly, we can be confident in life. So the first one, God is your shepherd, you can be content in life. So David begins with these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. This is a statement of deep contentment. David is saying that because the Lord is his shepherd, he would lack nothing. True, lasting contentment flows from this relationship with his Lord. Contentment is often defined as a state of happiness or satisfaction. David gives us insight into where the contentment came from. Now, first, David acknowledges that God is his shepherd. So in the ancient Near East, in the Middle Eastern world, shepherd imagery was commonly used for kings. So David was a king himself. He declares that the Lord, or Yahweh, as in the Old Testament God is mentioned, is the true king of Israel. He is the one who brings people to be on the throne, but he also overthrew Saul as a king and brought David as a king over the Israelite throne. But in this psalm, I think David goes further. He does not speak only as a king. He speaks as a sheep. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is deeply personal. Biblical scholars note that in Israel, there is grass available everywhere only for a couple of months during the monsoon season. And still waters is also a rarity most of the time during the year. So for most of the year, the sheep would not be seeing grass or water, but what they will constantly see is its shepherd nearby. A shepherd has to lead the sheep constantly to a place where there is food and water, protect them from predators, and guide them safely through dangerous terrain. And David is saying in verse 1, I'm absolutely certain who is watching over me, who is providing for me, who is protecting me. I do have a shepherd. Therefore, I will be content. With God as a shepherd, David says, I will lack nothing. So people who have been shepherds say that sheep never lie down until it had enough to eat, and also that sheep never drink from places where the water is constantly flowing. In this psalm, in verse 2, we see that the shepherd has led the sheep to a place where it had enough to eat, and it's lying down also, and had still waters to drink. So if you see in verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So that's why David is content. He has a shepherd who is providing for his physical needs. But also David understands that he has a shepherd who provides for his spiritual needs, which we see in verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So the word soul in verse 3 could relate to something physical, but the word along with the next sentence in the verse, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake, can have a lot of spiritual meaning. Now, David was not someone who was always content with God, isn't it? If you know the Old Testament, he strayed away from God's path with regards to Bathsheba and became an adulterer and a murderer. God is the one who led him back in paths of righteousness. If not for God's shepherding, David would have never had spiritual nourishment and would not have still been one among God's people. As the psalm puts it here, he would have not been one of God's sheep. How can David find contentment in the shepherd's provision? So David could look back on his personal life to see how God provided for him personally in the past. But also as an Israelite, he could have read the Bible, how God provided for the Israelites constantly for 40 years in the desert after they left Egypt and provided for them to reach the promised land. So David's statement, "I lack nothing," could be translated, "I cannot want or lack for anything." And that can be true, because if you're not wanting something you don't have, you do not have any feelings of unfulfillment. Let me say it this way. If the only thing you want is what you have, you only have fulfillment in life. Sheep don't really have much, do they? In fact, beside the wool on their backs, the only thing a sheep has in its life is a shepherd who takes care of the sheep. And that is enough. If Jesus is a good shepherd, then is he enough for us? When your health fails, will Jesus be enough for you? When you lose a loved one, is Jesus enough for you? When you go through financial hardship, is Jesus the good shepherd enough for you? When we have been rejected, disrespected, and cast aside, is Jesus enough for us? Can we look back at our lives and, by the way, Jesus has shepherded us since we have become a Christian, and say like David, "God is my shepherd. I lack nothing." When we read the way God led the apostles and early believers from the Bible, or when we read about people in 2,000 years of church history and how God has been faithful to saints from the past to those who live with you in the church today, can we take encouragement from it all and say, God is our shepherd. We will lack nothing. Saint Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you. We will never be content and experience deep, soul-satisfying peace until we stop expecting the things of the world to satisfy us. Begin to find your wealth and peace in the inheritance God has given you in Christ. In Jesus, we have all we need. We lack nothing." What a witness it would be for us to humbly say to non-believers, "Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing." How wonderful it is to say even to non-believing family members that I'm completely satisfied with the shepherding of my Lord in my life. This contentment does not deny the hardships of life. It does not lead to complacency. David was well aware of the valleys and the dangers and the enemies he had to face in life. But because the Lord is his shepherd, he goes on to make another confession in verse 4 that we will look under our next point, which is, God is your shepherd, you can be confident in life. So if you look down at verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So this is the first dark note in this beautiful psalm. Now, previously, David wrote of green pastures, still waters, and paths of righteousness. Yet when following the Lord as a shepherd, one may still walk through a valley of the shadow of the death. David talked about walking through a valley, not a mountaintop or a broad meadow, David talked about walking through the valley of a shadow of death, facing uncertainty, defeat, and evil. In some parts of the world, and there is a serious physical opposition and persecution because they are Christians. At the moment, that is not the big issue in England in comparison to other parts of the world. However, Christians in this country also walk out of the church on a Sunday morning, and we realize that we are still in a fallen world. You know, take a few practical examples. Maybe Ruth is a Christian who has a 5-year-old son, has constant temper tantrums and ignores her. Jack is a Christian, but his wife tells that she wants a divorce. Jill's boyfriend pressurizes her into sex before marriage, and she fears the relationship will end if she refuses. Where do they turn? Ruth might rely on parenting tips from a secular magazine. Jack and his wife might depend solely on a secular counselor. Jill might turn to a television relationship expert. These responses sound reasonable, but Psalm 23 points us elsewhere. When we truly want to know your shepherd, we look first to him. You know, David says in verse 4, "Your rod and your staff will comfort me." So a shepherd normally had a number of accessories, one of which is a staff. A shepherd could redirect a sheep with this kind of a long stick with a familiar curl at the end of it. If the sheep is straying away, or he uses it to pull a sheep out of a mud or a ditch. So that's a long stick with a curve that the shepherd has. That's the staff. And then the shepherd's rod, on the other hand, was a shorter and a heavier club, like a weapon used to defend against predators such as the wolves and the mountain lions. So these two power sticks were used by the shepherd for the direction and protection of the sheep. As a shepherd, David was well familiar with both. He counted on the Lord to give him direction in life and correction when he walks through dark valleys. As David thought about the Lord as a shepherd, he knew he could count on God to guide him in life and protect him from his enemies. We too should take God's guidance that comes from the Bible seriously and face the fears of our lives. David then declares in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." My cup overflows. In the midst of enemies and trials and struggles and fears, David says, "My cup will overflow." Like an overfilled cup of coffee spilling over, David describes the abundance of God's provision even in the presence of enemies. God's goodness and mercy follows him all the day of his life. Sometimes we just have to pause enough to notice God's grace, isn't it? If you're always chasing the next goal, the next thing to attain in life, we may miss the blessings already poured out on us. We were once God's enemies, that's what the Bible teaches. But God welcomed us in Christ Jesus. He rescued us, he redeemed us, he adopted us. He calls us to call him as his children, Abba, Father. Think of the times God pulled you out from despair and breathed hope in your soul in the past. When we truly look and think of all the ways God has guided us, we can see that our cup is overflowing. And David ends with these words, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now we see in verse 6. So this promise carries three assurances. Firstly, it talks about having a life. So it's similar to Psalm 1, where it speaks of two paths, life and death. Those who belong to God in Christ Jesus will experience life and life in abundance now and forever. Here also he says, even though there is enemies, there's dark valleys to face in life, David is very sure he's going to face, his future looks secure in Christ. He knows that he's going to face life forever. Secondly, he talks about he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord, in God's presence. To dwell in the house of the Lord means living where God's presence was believed to dwell. For David, this was a radical hope. Because in the Old Testament times, only the priests could enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple. David says he is going to dwell in the Holy of Holies along with God. In the New Testament, we see Jesus expanded this promise in John chapter 14, where he said, In my Father's house are many rooms. I will go to prepare a place for you. That's the assurance that Jesus gives, that we will dwell with him forever. And that's the third thing the psalmist here talks about as well. We will live with him forever. This life with God, he says, is not going to be temporary. He's not going to be a shepherd just for the next 10 odd years. He's going to be our shepherd for a never-ending time. The good shepherd not only guides, he not only protects you, but he also welcomes you into a home that is going to last for eternity. And that is something, if you're not a Christian, to think about. And that is something that Jesus thought about when he looked upon the crowds. He always looked upon them with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know what you'll face this new year, but if you're a Christian, you can be assured that you have a good shepherd. And may you all grow in your contentment, in your confidence, and in your compassion, because you can be confident in your confession that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want, you shall not fear. Let me pray as we close. Father God, we thank you that you are our shepherd. Thank you that you gave your only begotten Son out of your love for us. Thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is leading us home into the promised land where we could live with him forever. Amen.